So we've known Kurt and Mahli for a while. I need to tell you this story. So I worked with Sias in the office. I'm sure some of you know Sias. Okay, quite a character. I remember he heard that I liked JP, and just before I had to do announcements one day at office, he goes, I look up to the heavens. Where does my help come from? And I just blushed blood red because I knew he knew then I liked JP. And JP was to do the offering after me. And I like flustered. Now, in Stellenbosch, there are like thousands of students and you have to, oh, it was hectic. But in any case, so we love Sias. But Sias and I were on this roll. We were like matchmaking everybody in the church for one show for formal. Some of those friends are married. But what I did was my best friend needed a date, and I didn't trust the guy who wanted to take on a date, so I got Sias to ask JP to ask her. So I got Sias, I let him phone him up. This is Sias. Hi JP, hoe gaan het met jou liefdeslewe? It's like, oh my God. Like, in any case, lo and behold, he goes with my best friend to the show for formal. But before I set him up, I first phoned Mahli. Mahli, I know you know this guy. What is he like? Character sketch, you know? First do background check on JP. If he's suitable for my best friend, okay? Mahli definitely cleared him. So I'm very grateful for Mahli in my life and for Kurt, obviously. Okay, Liana, come for telephones.
Okay, hi guys. For those of you who has not heard of this testimony before, I'm just going to share with you. So, myself and Rika's husband, Alita, have been training to do the 21K Mandela Half Marathon this morning. And about a week and a half ago, like my ankles, both of them, and I don't sound silly, got injured. And I couldn't carry on training, and I saw the physio twice in the past week, and like, he's just like, yo, just listen to your body. And then he told me a story of how he ran with an injury before, and he was out for 10 weeks after that. I'm like, okay, so what are you trying to tell me? And then, so I was like in 2 minds of should I run, should I not, because it's quite a far distance to run with an injury. And then last night, I decided, okay, I haven't done anything for a week and a half now. I should just go for like a 500-meter run to feel how my ankle feels. I know it's ridiculous, just up the road and down. So Drikus decided he's going to join me. We put on our tackies, ran up the road and down, and I'm just like, okay, it's hurting. 21Ks tomorrow, fun. And then it was like a beautiful evening yesterday, so we just decided to bride. We were sitting outside, and I just told Drikus, love, I know God can heal me. You must pray for me now. So... So he prayed for my ankle, and it felt better. So I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to run, like, this morning. And then this morning I got up, went to the marathon, started running, and then my ankles were still sore. And for the first 7Ks, I felt it, and I'm like, oh, my word, I'm not going to make this. I'm going to have to walk. And then I remembered our cell that we had on Wednesday, where the Lord really just came and told us to not look to our circumstances, but to praise him and to worship him. So now this sounds really silly. But as I run, you know, you run, and you're like, 2 steps, breathe in, breathe out. So like, as I'm breathing in, I'm like going, "Danke, Jesus." That just means like, thank you, Jesus. And I'm just running like that because I'm like, he healed me last night, I'm gonna run. And I promise you, for the next 14Ks, I didn't have any pain at all, and I finished the race. So that's just like praising God while I'm running, and he's just like, okay, cool, I've healed you, you're praising me for it, there we go.
Thank you, Leon, that's wonderful. We have a big testimony to share to you. We're in an interesting season of our lives. JP's been working at the same company now for the last 7 years, and we just felt the Lord was leading him to resign, but he didn't have another job lined up. So he resigned, saying to his boss that he wants to spend more time with his family and with his children. And we just, like, there was a friend of his gave him a vision of he has to jump off a cliff and it's dark, but God will catch him. Now, for a CA wide like him, that's quite tough. You know, like, you know, there's darkness, I can't see. And he took the plunge, and I'm so glad he did. But while he did it, he knew that when he resigned, he was going to most possibly lose his bonus. Because who pays out a bonus to someone who leaves? No, that doesn't make sense financially. So we just gave it to the Lord, trusted him. And even their colleagues just told him, you know, put it on writing. Make sure that they pay out your bonus, you know. And then he just felt like, no, God will fight for him. So day and a half or two and a half days before he actually left the office, they paid out his bonus. I mean, how faithful is God? So we can have a lovely holiday. We can have a 4-month Sabbath rest and enjoy each other. So we're very thankful to God today. So I want to share a little bit about myself. I think you've seen my children, my husband, but I still have nice photos for you guys. I lived in Bloemfontein for quite a while, came to Stellenbosch and never left. My life turned around dramatically when I met the Lord, and through the help of the teachings in Shofar, he restored me. So I never left, and I ended up studying teaching at the end. Taught at high school Stellenbosch first worked for the church a bit, did internship, and then worked at a school, which I enjoyed, but it was incredibly hard work. And then when our daughter was little, I decided to resign and stay at home with my two kids. So now we've got two. I love the snow. It feels like, Europe. I love it. And there's JP and I on our wedding day. I'll share later why it was so significant that I picked that photo tonight. Because the scripture I'm sharing on is in Isaiah 61 from 1 to 3, where God says he's poured out his spirit. And that was the same scripture that Sia shared on our wedding. But in terms of Machli and Kurt, we're really privileged to come and visit them. We love them. Our kids love each other. It's been so nice. They just play and we can chat. It's lovely. No fighting or too hectic. And I want to say that he's told us a lot about your congregation. I'm really proud to hear of the work that you're doing, how you've been laboring in faith with them. And just keep on going. It's tough planting a church, but I believe this is of the Lord. And if you guys endure, you'll see the fruit that will come from it. So I had a word sorry that I'm going to share it in front of everybody, but I had a word for Kurt, which I had also for Heinrich a while ago. It was in Hebrews 6 verse 10 that says, "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." So I was going to say to you, Kurt, I feel the Lord says he's well pleased with you, and he thanks you, and he's not forgetting. And then it goes on to say that you guys must not be sluggish, and you must imitate him through faith and patience to inherit the promises. So I know that many promises have been spoken over this church and over this town, and go and inherit it. The Lord's got great plans. And I want to honor you for being here tonight. There are many places you could be tonight, but you came here. My prayer tonight and what my goal is for my I don't want to call it a sermon, my sharing my life with you, is that you will be strengthened in faith by hope that I'll be sharing with you my story of how God is a healer and how he is a redeemer, and he wants to do it for you too. And that he wants to bind up your wounds, but not me, but him. He wants to come and meet you. And I think Kurt's prayed enough, and I've prayed for you guys, each one individually. I'm really excited to share with the word. And just to expand what I'm going to be teaching, let's first read that sermon. It says, sermon. It feels like a sermon. Isaiah 61, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor." By the way, if you've got the Spirit of God on you, that same Spirit is on you. You also have that anointing. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and then opening of prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And I want to share some teachings on healing the brokenhearted, how God wants, he wants us to be holy. But for us to be holy, we first need to be whole, because holiness is wholeness. Okay? And the Lord's heart is first for us, for his people, for wholeness, before we can be holy and proclaim his word and be a glory unto his name. So I want to assure you that God's got your name imprinted on the palm of his hand, that he knows you, that he loves you, and that he wants to come and meet you. I want to share a bit of my own story in between, and then I want to tell you about the great exchange that Jesus comes and tells us there in Isaiah 61, the beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. It speaks of an exchange, and I want to just say that I don't have this great theological degree. I did 3 years Bible school, absolutely loved it, did internship, but I have a degree in life. I've been through some trials, and I've just lately lived through a great trial, and I feel strengthened, and that's what I want to share with you guys. I really know that God's close to the brokenhearted. He's near to those who are hurting. And then he comes to say in Psalm 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. We had a ladies' retreat a while ago at Franschhoek, and then a lady called Beryl came to share with us from LL Ministries, and they minister healing to broken hearts all the time. And then we were broken up into little small groups, and then we prayed for the one girl. And I just saw a vision of the Lord came to almost bandage her up. You know, like Lazarus, he came to put bandages when she was buried. It sounds weird, for burial, you know. And he put bandages on, but inside the bandages was the balm of Gilead, almost like a salve, you know. And while she was tied up and she felt she was dying, he was actually busy healing her while she was waiting, while she was there in the grave. And then I felt like he's taking it off. And the healing happened because of that which he bound her up. And I feel to say to you guys today that, and it came out in intercession, that same voice of Jesus said to Lazarus, live. I want to say to you guys, live today. Live in wholeness. God says to you, live. He will heal you. He is enough. Okay, now the next picture, you're going to think it's a child that drew it, but I did feel like a bit of a child the last while. I went to a lady who does art therapy. Now, I don't know if you know art therapy. I didn't know art therapy, but basically you sit and you draw things, and she sits next to you and interprets it, but basically I was just talking to God most of the time. She said very little. And you can't see so nice. Okay, she told me to draw the outlines of my body and draw how I was feeling on the inside. Now, I don't know if you can see, but I'm crying, and my mind's all blurred. And look at that heart. That heart, I felt like black. And you can see that my heart's bleeding, like there's blood all over the ground. Now, this was about 2 months ago, and it was a really broken place. I felt like that. And the Lord had led me to go back to some childhood hurts, to some childhood traumas, where I felt like that. So that's why you'll see some of the drawings that I'm going to show you. It's like a child drawing again. And that scripture came to mind, that he's actually very close to me. And he came to tell me that, there you can see better. Thanks, Kurt. Now I can't see my notes. it's all right. We like the snowy pictures. And in this time, I listened to two stories on Focus on the Family. Whoever listens to Focus on the Family, they've got like broadcasts. I don't know. Do you have a Christian radio station here? Do you guys have one? Not. Oh, my word. You can actually stream one online. I often listen to Radio Tigerberg or to, you can stream Radio Pulpit, and by us, we've got CCFM, which is a really cool station. So Focus on the Family's got podcasts, too. I'd really encourage you. It's something when you're driving, in the, you know, to work or to back, to just listen to little snippets, and often people's stories. And there were two stories, and the one was of Dory. She sounded a lot like the fish Dory, but I know it's not, because I know it's Ellen DeGeneres, that lady, but she sounded a lot like her. And her story sounded like, who's watched the Dory film? Yeah, Finding Dory. She like goes on a mission to find her parents. So this story was of a lady, of a girl called Dory. She's an orphan. And her mother dropped her off when she was 6 years old at an orphanage, but it was during the Great Depression, so she couldn't look after that. And at the orphanage, they got treated really poorly. Like, the matrons were hard on them. They didn't love them. They just, it was just terrible. And at age 12 or 13, missionaries came to the orphanage and evangelized them. And all they said was, God loves you. And she says, but why is that a big deal to anybody else? But she said for the first time she felt somebody told it to her, God loved her. And then a while later, somebody else gave her a Bible, and she started reading the Bible. And she said she was ugly and she was dirty, because she said if you're so mean, you really become ugly. And she says you can believe it, she was ugly. But she took the word of God and she started reading scriptures on the love of God. And it says that Jesus so loved the world that he said, gave his only begotten. And then she goes, he did it for me. And then she would just say, thank you, Lord. And her journey goes on, that she eventually goes to foster parents who basically just abuse her sexually, physically, everything. She tries to escape. And then they find her, look for a mom, put her in court of law. And when a mom sees her, the judge says, is that your child? And the mom turns her back and says, and when the judge asks the third time, she says, yeah, I guess so. And the judge says, and then she says, but if you give it to me, I surely will kill her. I didn't want her in the first place. Okay, that's how much rejection this Dory experienced. Then somebody else took her in, a doctor and his wife had pity on her, took her in, gave her nice pretty clothes, but then it ended up just being a servant's suit. So she was a servant in their house. And then they encouraged her to write to her dad, and she wrote to her dad, and he actually wrote back, and she met her dad. And she said for the first time, then she was 19 years old, for the first time in her life, she got a hug from anybody, okay? But in that time, up to when she had met her father, at that hectic house where she was off, fasting, she had read the Bible, and she had read the Bible, and she had meditated on it. And every moment that she had spare, she just read the Bible. And she took those truths, and she could really experience the love of God just through the Word of God and speaking to God. And I was so challenged by it. I was so challenged that this girl never even got a physical hug, was so loved because of the Word of God. And she eventually didn't stay with her dad because the dad didn't want her to continue in her faith. And she got married and she was a missionary in Papua New Guinea. It's a beautiful story. But I was challenged by it. I was challenged that I have so much love around me and still I struggle to experience the love of God. And so I have a demonstration that I want to... Am I going to do it now? I'm going to demonstrate just now. So through the art therapy, God just came to really start healing me little by little. So the next, is there next picture that she asked me to draw again how I was feeling. So she does says it's like a body check. So you draw the outlines, and now I can see in my mind I've already started forming new good brain paths because I'd been doing a mind renewal course. But there was still a bit haywire, and my heart you can see is mostly healed, but there's still a bit of blackness. And you can see I recognize that I've got scars on me, because we all do. We've all been hurt somewhere. We've all got some baggage we carry, but it's starting to heal. I'm drawing scabs, and I've got flowers in my hand, and there were words going into my ears, but I was singing out. And on my one hand, I was just still a bit angry. And on my feet were shoes, because I want to share this testimony with you. Even in this hectic time, I often pick up people next to the street. My husband's made peace with it. But so I pick up this lady, and I see she gets in, and she's got all these beading on. And I ask her, I know exactly what it's for. She's a Zangoma. But I ask her, oh, what your beads for? She says, no, it's cultural. I say, oh, what culture are you? You know, pretending I don't know. I don't know what she said, but I said, but isn't it for something specific? She said, yes, she's a Zangoma in training. I said to her, oh, do you want to be a Zangoma? She says, yes. I say, oh, but isn't it a bit scary? Oh, yeah, those ancestral spirits, they come to visit you and you've got this calling. Isn't it quite hectic? She goes, yes. And I just start telling her, but oh, yeah, it's very fearful. And I say to you, but I've heard that those spirits will never be satisfied because they will always torment you. They will come for you at night, you know. They're the hectic things that Sangomas have to go through the you know, training. Sometimes they have to live underwater and be pulled out by a snake. But it's a life of torment. And then I shared with her my testimony of how I was tormented as a child by fearful dreams, by nightmares, which were quite extreme. And even as an adult, like 20, 21 years old, I couldn't sleep alone because I was so afraid of the dark. And then coming through salvation, I started dealing with it. And the Lord took me through a road. It was about a two-year period where I had to continually work at rooting out the fear. And that scripture, perfect love casts out fear, was one of those that kept at my heart. And I had to picture God sitting with me, loving me, and that I was not afraid. And I can honestly say that I'm not afraid of the dark anymore, and that I'm not bothered by things coming to visit me. And so I shared with her, and I said to her, Jesus is the great Prince of Peace. And then I asked her, I challenged her, I said, do you know anybody who's a Christian? She says, yes. Her sister-in-law was a Sangoma. She's not anymore. I said, does she go to church? She says, yes. I said to her, but won't you go with her to church? And she was quiet, and she said, okay, she'll go, not one, she'll go a few times, and then she'll decide. So I said, that's great. How does your husband feel about you becoming a Sangoma? No, he doesn't like it. So I just said to her about unity and the blessing of God, and I dropped her off at the taxi rank. So sometimes you just sow seed. And then it felt like the Lord was treating me. 3 months later, lo and behold, I pick up the same lady. I'm like, Lucy, it's you. I'm like, Lucy, did you go to church? She says, yes. I say, and? She's like, my life is perfect. I'm like, what? I'm like, really? Just tell me more. Like, and I don't think she had words to tell me. But basically what I could gather was she was saved. And then she was quiet for long. And then she said to me, you know what? My kids are so happy now because I'm not in isolation anymore because I don't have to go and communicate with these spirits anymore. And we're a family. And I thought, wow, eh? God comes to restore. And her husband goes with her to church now, and that sister-in-law helps her. So Jesus is really the Prince of Peace. Eh? He comes to bring us peace. And that's why I've put up the scripture of the Great Exchange. I want to read the scripture in Isaiah 53, verse 4 to 6. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So Jesus' death is that great exchange. We come and we give all our sadness. He brings us perfect joy. We give him our sickness and he brings healing. We bring him, give him our rejection, he brings full acceptance. So if we know that, why is it so difficult to just experience it? So I have a demonstration. Who will come and volunteer for me to hold something, please? Lalita, is it yet? Lalita, will you just come and hold this tray for me, please? Thank you. All right. So this is a demonstration that Beryl and them showed to us, and it was so powerful for me, I want to show you. See, look, all of us, this is us emotionally. Think about, in the day, things happen. Kurt was sharing about his road rage. You know, somebody drives in front of you, parks like stupid, and he's like, oh, I'm angry at you. Why do you drive like that? Okay. Then you become a little bit emotionally, okay. Maybe your spouse forgot to greet you when they went to work. You feel, oh, you feel a little bit rejected, okay? At work, someone, you know, says something ugly to you. You feel, oh, it's not so nice. But you're just going on. And then maybe tonight someone sends you a WhatsApp that's not so great. You watch something a bit empty on TV. And things, and life happens. This is just a day. But, I mean, we can talk about months and years where things just pile on. You feel rejected by friends. You're not meeting your life partner, whatever. And at some point, this happens, okay? We start going over, all right? Have you ever met someone who's had a breakdown? Someone who's just, they've had enough, right? And that's why we've become so heavy. And what we should be doing is the great exchange. We should take this and pour it back into God. We should say, God, I didn't like what they did to me there. Forgive them. God, oh, I feel rejected, but thank you that I'm loved by you. And then you say, but as it happens, or whatever it might be, maybe once a week, once a month, whatever it is for you, find rest where you say, God, I rest in you. Lord, you are my provider. And then when we do that, we're an empty vessel that God can use. When we're not so emotionally bottled up. Thank you, Nerina. We have a bit of cool drink. Oh, that was such a beautiful illustration to me that there's hope, that I don't have to feel and come to a place again that I feel so overwhelmed, but I can continue just empty myself in God and give him the things and he will come and do it. So I felt the Lord tell me I must go to the Logos Hope Ship. Who's heard of that? It's this huge ship that goes all around the world and it docks in the harbors. Did it dock here in Durban Harbor? Did it? Okay. Who went? Nobody. So it was in the Cape Town Harbor, and we went almost on the second last day, and it was like a long run. When I got there, it was just basically like a bookshop, because we had missed to buy tickets for the show, and we couldn't get a tour, whatever. But then I picked up this, I just felt the Lord leading me to a book, and I picked up this book, and it's a book of Joyce Meyer, and it says, Beauty for Ashes. But I mean, it was like the right book, the right season. I started reading it, and wow, the Lord started speaking to me about it, and particularly, she said, you must commit in your heart to receive the love of God. And at that stage, I was feeling like a dry, empty pit. Like, you get to say, a dorre pit, ne? It was niks meer water, ne? I felt like that. And I wanted to blame everybody else and my spouse and they're this and they're that. But I was the one who was responsible for my pit. I was the one that could fill it up again. But through God, I couldn't blame anybody. It was now my, we made a few changes in our day-to-day so that I could spend more time with God, so I could go for therapy, that I could just be with the Lord, go into nature. There were days where I would literally just lie on a bench next to the river and just breathe God in and breathe whatever was bugging me out and just breathe God in just to start this process. And then the Lord spoke to me through Romans 5 verse 5. Now, Romans 5 verse 5 says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And then this picture came up for me that you can see I drew like almost like a, I know, you can see. And a tuamis heart, you know, it's like a real heart. And then you'll see a jug. And I just poured like love from God and God's holding that jug. And he pours it into my heart. And then I drew another one and another one just, and I pasted it up on the wall to remind me that that is possible. If I can, in faith, say, God can come and fill my heart with love, he can do it. And I started speaking. I started reminding myself of it and thanking God that he has poured out his love. He says he's done it already because I am saved, okay? So I have received the love of God. And then about a month and a half later, we went to a church in Rondebosch, supporting a friend of ours who was preaching. And on the wall was a beautiful sketch of a lady called Lenka that she had drawn. And the Lord spoke to me through that. It was, you can go on, Leon, just I think about three more photos or so. Oh, those were the other pictures that I drew of God's love being poured out. Yeah, that one. And she drew also an anatomical heart. But there's something that started to happen, okay? I just felt the Lord saying that water, that life that he had poured out into my heart was starting to bring forth life, okay? Was starting to bear fruit. And in that time, I was also doing mind renewal. I was, there's a lady called Dr. Caroline Leaf, and she's got a program called 21 Day Mind Detox. And I started committing to doing the mind detox and meditating scripture. And then in that morning, she also had a myrtle tree and like a dead tree. And she was showing how if you start meditating on goodness and identifying your toxic thoughts, that that goes dead and God brings new life. So the scripture that was with that beautiful picture was Isaiah 55 verse 13. It says, instead of the thorn tree, come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. How beautiful is that, eh? Instead of what we have experienced in the past, instead of the hurts that we have felt because of our childhood maybe, because of a failed marriage, because of I don't know what you've gone through, you know, we all get hurt. Maybe you've been hurt in church, but God says, yeah, those thorns, instead of that, he will bring the myrtle tree. And I Googled a bit what's a myrtle tree, and it looks like a very hardy tree, okay? It can withstand a lot. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. It was beautiful to me. And God says that he is Jehovah Rapha. He comes to heal us in Exodus 15, verse 26. For I am the Lord who heals you. Amen. Eh? Isn't that wonderful? And there were some scriptures of the love of God that I started meditating on. You can write them down if you want to and go read them. But 1 John 4:18. There's no fear in love. And 1 John 4 verse 9 to 10, the love of God was manifest towards us because of what God's done. 1 John 4, 16, we have known and believed that the love of God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. 1 John 4, 19, we love him because he loved us. And so slowly but surely then, while I was reading Joyce Meyer's book, this was her story of abuse. I don't know if you guys know Joyce Meyer's story, but she was quite hectically abused by her dad, sexually and physically and also emotionally. Her mother knew about it, but decided not to do anything about it. And this book was written, her story of hope or her strategy that God had given her to overcome the patterns in her life because of the abuse. And she also married a man who was loveless towards her and divorced, and then she met her current husband, whom the Lord used greatly in her life to bring forth healing. But she then had a picture in there of a tree. Oh, no, wait, before I get there, I just love how the Lord works. Okay, so about 2 years ago, I can't remember exactly the timeline, my son was born, and with both my children, I really struggled with depression, postnatal depression, whatever you want to call it. I was drinking medication. I was trying my best, but I was really depressed. And at a stage, I was wondering, what's the meaning to life? I was really contemplating, like, why am I here? What's my purpose? And it's not quite like me, but I was quite in a dark place. So I chatted to my husband, phoned a psychologist, said, okay, we're going to work at this, maybe up my dosage of antidepressants. And that was the Monday. Made the appointment for the Friday. And the Wednesday, Few and Kurt had asked me to come help them minister at Encounter One, Foundation One, you know, the first one. And they asked me to share my testimony. And as I was sharing my testimony, I just felt the call of God again in my life. And the Lord reminded me about what he's spoken to me about, what is my destiny. And I started getting excited because I took a friend with, and she met the Lord. She got saved, and that always excites me. And then afterwards, we did a foundation one, like the upper room, like it was this loft. And I always say, whenever there's salvations and people being filled with the Spirit of God is really there. Oh, I love it. It's just so sweet because all of heaven's rejoicing. And then I felt the Lord challenging me to ask Kurt and Theo to just pray with me afterwards. And I thought I needed to ask them to pray with me for my calling because I felt sorted now, you know. And then the Lord did something. Theo started praying for me for deliverance. So he walked around me and he just addressed the spirit of heaviness. And as he addressed the spirit, my knees started jerking, okay? And when he addressed the spirit, it went out of me and my knees stopped jerking. I felt like something left me. And then he addressed the spirit of condemnation. And that week, I was feeling like a terrible mother. And I felt my body jerk again, and then a spirit left me. And then the Lord showed me a powerful vision of, Theo was like walking around me, of how he was digging out a burrow around me, you know, almost like a sluit. And he was filling it with water of everlasting life, and then he lit it on fire of that passion that he brings. God, it was insane. I drove home that night. I was so full of joy. I almost picked up a guy hitchhiking. I didn't because it was too late. Yeah, I do listen sometimes. And then I was just singing and rejoicing and saying, and I went home and I said to JP, I don't need the antidepressants anymore. I'm going to cancel that appointment. The Lord has delivered me. And he really did. He delivered me. I haven't drunk my antidepressants. And I thank the Lord for that. And whenever I go home for holidays, it gets a bit tough. And that January, it was a bit tough and I started feeling a bit low. And the Lord challenged me through a teaching of someone. He said to me, I've got people with depression sometimes has the sin of self-pity. And right there in my bed, I just said, Lord, I repent of self-pity. And the heaviness lifted again. So now it's like a walk with God. God's delivered me. He's healed me. I just need to hear his voice and respond to his voice. It's easy. I love the Lord. So in that year, they asked me to do teaching for setting the captives free. So that's basically about deliverance at the church. And I did the teaching and the Lord came to do some extra work. And we got to a lady to pray for our family and great deliverance was done. So this year, the church asked me, will I please do healing the brokenhearted? No. Great topic. I've been helping out with Encounter 3. But you know what? When I started preparing for this module, I just realized, oh goodness, what did I get myself into? Because when you are preaching the word, you better be a doer of the word. Okay. So now I had to live this. And as I started teaching about healing the broken, I realized I need healing. And the one thing stood out for me. I said to the people, I said, don't brush over your emotional pain. You know, go in and allow God to heal you. And we went on this retreat, and the lady said to us, we all have an emotional garage or an attic or a, I don't know where you stuff all your extras, okay? I'm a hoarder, okay? Yekwerenki syndrome. My husband hates it, okay? Like, I hoard things, you know? I'm sentimental. I want to keep them there, you know? We stack them in the garage. Who else does that? You know, you can get our dresses that you wore in matric, you know? My mom brought me my gymnastics leotard when I was in primary school the other day. Okay, goodness. We'll do some cleansing when we come home, JP. and then I realized I've been stuffing my emotions. I feel them and it hurts and I just stuff them because I can't deal with them now and it's too painful and life needs to happen. So I stuff them in that garage, that emotional garage. But somewhere along the line, when you stuff your emotions and they actually haven't healed, so it's just fraught fists, okay? They're still alive. They'll start stinking. Okay? But when God heals our wounds and they complete, it doesn't stink when they start frotting there in your garage. Okay, I started frotting. And then I opened up this garage. And it felt to me like I was opening up a Pandora's box. Everything was just coming out and I wasn't able to stuff it anymore. And then I just allowed God to come do healing. And he was faithful. He did come and heal me. And then he led me to this book of Joyce Meyer to give me, really to encourage me. And she drew a picture of when you're rooted in the wrong, let's say soil or root system, when your roots are actually flawed. Because we can look at the symptoms. We can look at the fruit that your life's bearing. You can go to that picture of the tree. That's the simple drawing. Almost. Yes, that one. Thank you. So when you've got rotten roots, maybe in your house you were abused. Maybe you've experienced great rejection in your life. Or there's shame or guilt or you feel that something's wrong with you or there was improper mirroring or imaging from parents. So now our parents are the ones that give us our God image as children. How we experience our parents is most likely how we can experience God. That's what research shows. I know that's a lot of pressure on us as parents, but it's wonderful that we can also apologize to our children and walk a journey. And they can also know that we're just human and that God is their father. But that is how it is. So if you have a cold and absent father, you'll experience God as cold and absent. If you've got maybe a mother who's criticizing and perfectionistic, you'll experience God as nitpicking. You'll really struggle with fruit, and there I've said the fruits, the self-pity, hatred, chip on the shoulder, judgmental, controlling, anger, hostility, lack of self-control, low self-esteem, negativism, or depression. And it's actually, you're trying to fix the depression, you're trying to fix the self-pity, but the root system is still there where it's where you experienced rejection. So in Encounter 3, we call it legacy. Who's done legacy? Who's here? Encounter 3, Foundation 3. Okay, great. It's from Paths of Peace, and it was taken from a guy called Craig Hill. Am I right? He calls it something else, Family Foundations. Yes, Family Foundations. And there, one of the things you do is you renounce the lies you believe about your Father God. And I'd done it many times. I'd said, I renounce the lie that my Father God is distant and disinterested. I joyfully accept the truth that my Father God is loving and interested in me. And that's wonderful to do that. So I realized I was that tree. I was planted in the house of God, but my root system was a bit flawed. So what I had to do is I literally had to go and dig out that root system and uproot myself and go plant myself in the love of God. And it was so funny. I saw pictures often of like, I plant myself, but then I want to walk back again to that old familiar place. You know how they say, rather the demon you know than the demon you don't know, okay? But so I continually had to uproot myself and trust that God uproots that. Because he's spoken to me, so I must trust him. And it's painful. And I want to encourage you guys, when you're going through a process like that, just keep walking, just keep swimming. You know, Dory, just keep swimming. If you're walking through the shadow of the valley of the shadow, just keep walking. Okay, when God's doing a work, don't stop. I know my therapist said to me, don't stop therapy. Just keep going. Because you feel a bit better, and then you go low. And then you feel a bit better, and then you go very low. And then you must get yourself up. And I know God's going to get me up. But don't stop. So don't stop when God's stirring in your heart. So I said that it's important to take a good look at our roots. If they are unpleasant, harmful, or abusive, the good news is that you can uproot from the bad soil and be transplanted in the good soil of Christ Jesus. And that obviously happens with salvation. And you can be rooted and grounded in him and in his love. So Ephesians 3 verse 17 to 18, that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. And rooted in Christ is also in Colossians 2 verse 7. So then I, with my daughter, we painted the next picture. We painted the tree when I'm rooted in Christ, in his love, okay? Grounded and rooted in his love. Then my root system says that I'm valuable, I'm acceptant, I have no guilt, I'm unique, and I'm special, and I'm loved. And that's all scriptural, okay? That's based on the word of God that he says over you and over me, that we are loved, lovable, we accepted in the beloved, he knows our name. And then the good fruits come, the Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. And you'll see underneath the tree are two trees. The one I drew almost like a hammock, and the other one is just a swing. And it says that you become relaxed, that you don't have to feel that you need to perform to get this thing right. You become relaxed. You can have peace that God's doing this, that you're not doing it, that you can rest. And we're so grateful for the season of rest that the Lord's brought us into. Right, you can go to the next slide. It just says what's my tree stump and what are them the swings. Philippians 1 verse 6, it says, you began a good work and you will bring it to completion. And then the Lord started speaking to me about identity. So the only way we can replant ourselves and be rooted in God is our identity, when it's Christ-based, when we look to the cross and not to ourselves. And the Lord was faithful to speak to me through so many scriptures, remind me of what he's been speaking to me, Isaiah 62, what he says over me. And then I saw this picture in a gallery the other day. Ladies, you can see her feet are actually roots. And she's obviously grounded and rooted in God. She's not running away. She's not anxious. She's just staying in God and in his love. And then at the top of her head, leaves start growing. She's bearing fruit. And then she's eating the fruit. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And the clock behind it symbolizes to me time. Give it time, but give it to the Lord. Take time out to sit with the Lord, to ask him to bring healing, to speak to your heart. Sorry, I've got like 40 slides and I realize I'm just going to do two or three. Let me maybe say this one. During healing, we need to forgive. That's just like that. Forgive your offender, but not just forgive. Release them. Pray for them. Bless them. Prophesy over them. Choose scripture that God speaks to you about them. Inquire of them from God and speak life over them. I know that's really, really tough. But don't seek revenge. Seek unity if somebody has offended you. And our healing lies, there's actually a slide for it. I'm really giving you a hard time up there, but there's a slide for this. It says our healing lies in the revelation of the Father's heart. Oh, guys, a friend prayed with me, and she prays for inner healing. And what she let me do is she said, I must ask God, where was he in my childhood? And I'd get a picture of him. And then I must ask God, God, what do you think of me? And then the Lord talks to me powerfully in scripture. And then I want to run away, and then he says, no. And then I struggle, and then she says, but ask God to help you. And then I just say, God, help me to sit by. And he showed me such powerful pictures of how he takes my hand, and he walks with me, and how he loves me. And I want to encourage you, we're going to do it a bit later about how God looks at you. So our healing is the revelation of the Father's heart, the acceptance of the Father's heart, the acceptance of the unconditional love, and the acceptance of us. And the Spirit comes and releases us to become children again. As you can see, I was like drawing like a child again. To be innocent again with a spontaneous freedom, to believe again and to hope again and to begin new. And when we have a cross-centered self-image, God brings boldness and a restoration of hope and delivers us from the fear of punishment. And there are a few scriptures related to that. So today I want to breathe hope into you guys. I want to say that God is interested in you. He's interested in healing up your wounds. He's interested in coming to do a mighty work of restoration. But if you guys don't mind, I've been praying for you by name. I just want to say what the Lord's been saying to me. Kubus and Priscilla, I prayed for you this morning, and I just felt the Lord saying that you are a light and salt to this world, but you're on a hill, and you mustn't hide it. I couldn't remember the scripture, but like a city on a hill, a light that cannot be hidden. And I just saw a picture of a plug as well, that nothing must hinder you from being plugged into God. And I also got reminded of a sermon a friend of ours gave on the society and how Christianity can change society. And what she shared with us, it was unintentional that Christian missionaries changed society. They brought education, they brought the mass printing. And I feel the same for you guys. Just live your Christianity out, and God will bring change around you because you are the salt and the light. And then for Nopilo, am I saying it right? Mpoli. Oh, what's your name again? Say again? Nopilo. Okay, Miambo, is that your surname? Okay. I just felt the Lord wants to say that Jesus wants to speak to you, and he's speaking to you, okay? And just listen. The Lord is close to you. Drikus and Ilona, I've shared with you what the Lord says, but I'm so excited about that prayerful heart of Drikus. And Anna Rita, I shared with her that I feel the Lord says she's a prophetess, Anna, out of Luke 2 from 36 to 37. And Nalita, I just found Psalm 19, verse 14 on my heart. It says that let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And I feel the Lord says, you're acceptable to him, Nalita. And he says, the meditations of your heart and the words of your mouth, because he is your strength and your redeemer. Walter. Walter, I just felt that the Lord says, I saw water, and that you're a well-watered spring of life, and that you rely on God, and God, yeah, it's beautiful. May many people come and draw life and water from you. Jason, up there, hey. Jason, it was so funny when I saw your stature, but I just felt you're a pillar, and that you stand tall, and you stand strong in a crowd. I saw a picture of you dressed in a suit amongst many working people, and you stand out like a sore thumb. You're just standing strong, so I want to encourage you to just stand strong when things come and lots of temptations come. Remind me about your name. Filane, okay. I've had the Lord say to you that he's behind you. He's with you. There's a scripture that says, this is the voice saying, there's a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I feel the Lord's going to give you direction. He is behind you. He's speaking to you. Just keep going. All right. And so, guys, I want to do an altar call, and I first want to do it. I've asked Kurt to just play a song. I want you to first, on your own, just connect with the Lord. The Lord longs for us. He loves it when we come to Him. I had such precious time this morning. I felt very spoiled. My husband and took the kids and Kurt, and Machli made food and did all sorts of stuff around the house. I just sat and had time with the Lord. It was so, so precious. But yeah, I just want you guys to sit and get comfortable and close your eyes. And you guys can play that song just in the background slowly. But I want you to start thanking God for His love. Just thank Him in your own words for His word, for your salvation, and for His love. In your own words. I just want to encourage you. I just felt that no one can do this for you. Not Kurt, not Machli, not another leader who can pray with you. You must reach out to God and take your hand, and He will lead you and usher you, okay? But you choose this. Okay, so if you thank God for His love, I want you to, you can say it, you can just say it in your heart, it really doesn't matter, but commit or determine in your heart to receive God's love. Say to God, God, I want to receive your love. God, I want to be like a well-watered tree that's planted next to your water of life. I want to be much fruit, God. Lord, come remind me of your love in the week. Lord, come speak to me now about your love. And I commit and I say, I want to receive your love. Now I want you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit, who is your teacher, to give you a revelation of God's love. It might be that God comes to give you a picture of His love towards you, or a picture of who God is, but just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal God's love to you. Okay, now if you have a picture in your mind of God's love, I want you to ask Him to reveal Himself to you. Where is He? How do you see the Father God? Just ask Him, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Show me the Father God. And if you've got a picture of God, you can see Him at the cross. You can be seeing Him as the Father who loves you. You can be sitting on His lap. You can maybe be, He can be the one who's protecting you. But I want you to be bold and ask God, how does He see you? I believe the Lord wants to come tell you the beauty that is in you and the words that He speaks over you. Just ask Him. God, I just come and thank you for the word that says your banner over us is love. God, you come and say that we are your beloved, Lord. We are accepted in the beloved. Lord, you say that we are loved by you. God, you say you're jealous over us. You long for us, God. You roar over us like a lion of Judah. You're jealous for us. God, you protect us. You are a protector. You are Jehovah Rapha, God, our healer. Lord, you say you put a crown of glory on our heads. We are a crown, a royal diadem in your hand, Lord. Lord, thank you that you say that you call us by a new name. We won't be forsaken anymore. We won't be desolate. You call us Beulah and Hephzibah, married and redeemed. God, you say we are made free. We are made free when we surrender to you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you call us worthy, God, because of the cross, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you say that you are, that we are your beloved, Lord, that you are well pleased in us. If you've never heard God say over you, He is well pleased with you, I want you to hear today that God says He's well pleased with you. He's well pleased that you choose to serve Him and to come to Him, and that He loves you. Guys, I just feel in my heart that there's some baggage that we are carrying that we just need to unload. So while we're in this attitude of worship, I just want you to take whatever emotional baggage you have, whatever is heavy on your heart or heavy on your back, and see how you kneel at the cross of God and you just pack it out one brick at a time. Just take it out of your bag and give it to God. It might be someone has hurt you. It might be a heavy burden. Just unburden yourself at the cross right now.